And Father, to you be all glory and honor. You do great things, God, and we thank you that you've made all things new in your Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus, we've come to learn from you, and we pray, God, as your word goes forth, that it would impact our hearts in a profound way. We give you all glory and honor once again, and we thank you for this time. We dedicate our thoughts, our minds, our affections, our hearts, these bodies, all that we are to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to speak to you about two words that change the world. You and I know that Jesus, he is a world changer. And his words have changed countless lives throughout history, and his words are transforming lives today. But when he was here, and he started his ministry, he spoke two words that ignited it all. Two simple yet profoundly transformative words that continue to change lives, change destinies, and change the world. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, it tells us, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, and here are the two life-changing words, follow me. Follow me. And so he arose and he followed him. These words were not only an invitation to Matthew, they were also a command. Matthew was so moved by Jesus and moved by his words that he changed the course of his life. His destiny was changed, and he became a world changer, and he followed Jesus. And today, our Lord, he sees you sitting here, or maybe standing here, or listening, and he is saying to you, follow me. Now, you may be thinking, Pastor, I've been following Jesus for years. But I say to you, it doesn't matter how long you've been following Jesus. There are times in a believer's life when we find ourselves in a situation when the Lord will say to a disciple, follow me. I've been walking with the Lord for 35 years. 18 years ago, I found myself in a situation that the Lord said to me, and it wasn't an audible voice, but it was an impression in my spirit as the circumstances determined and directed me, and it was of a necessity that I had to just cry out to him for direction. And I felt that still small voice and that impression within my heart say, David, you can have a job or you can follow me. The choice is up to you. And to me, there was only one right choice. I had to follow him. And I can tell you with all honesty, with all sincerity, I never look back with regret. It's been amazing what God has done. You may be following Jesus. Maybe you've been following him for not as long as I have, maybe even longer. And you too are in a situation, and it's a challenging one. And the Lord is saying to you, follow me. And there's only one right choice for you to make. And that is for you to follow him. You may have some fears. I'm not encouraging you to be reckless, to be foolish, to be emotional. But you may have some fears, and you are in a situation where you know that you know that you know, and now it's confirmation. that Jesus is saying to you, follow me in that situation. And you can move forward in fear. Moses moved forward in fear, but he moved forward. You move forward in that command to follow him. You know, these words of our Lord, follow me, were spoken on different occasions and for different reasons. I'm going to share a few with you today. The first is a call to a higher purpose. On one occasion, there was a couple of brothers with purpose, but Jesus called them to a higher purpose. Why don't you go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. Here, this tells us of these two brothers. We're looking at verse 18. And Jesus, it tells us, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers. One was Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, notice, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. You know, Andrew and Peter, they were fulfilling a purpose. They had a successful business. They were taking care of their family. They were of value to society. You could say that in a way, in perhaps a small way, we don't know to the degree, they were making a difference in the world. However, they longed for more. We know this because Andrew, if you study John's gospel and his account, he was a disciple of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was preparing his disciples for the Messiah that would come. And that Messiah did come. Jesus came. And when John had said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, Andrew followed him. And he said to Jesus, where are you staying? And Jesus said, come and see. And then at some point later, Andrew went to his brother. And he said to Peter, we have found the Messiah. They wanted more from this life. They wanted a higher calling, a higher purpose. And the Lord knew this about them. He could see them walking in their higher purpose, and he called them to it. Andrew and Peter, they left everything and followed him, and they became fishers of men, leaders in the early church, and they changed the world. Perhaps Jesus is calling some of you to a higher purpose. You sense there is more. You're fulfilling a earthly purpose, which is not wrong, is not bad, but you're not satisfied where you're at. You want to reach souls for Christ. And within your spirit, there is a holy restlessness, but you think you must be in full-time ministry before your higher purpose can begin. But I want to encourage you who long for more and want to see God do more in and through your life, you are in full-time ministry. You don't need to wait. Like Andrew and Peter, Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Did you catch it? Maybe you feel like there's something you have to do. It, like the responsibility is on you. But Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you. Did you catch that? And so it all starts with following Jesus, and he will make you a fisher of men. Jesus knows your potential and has invited you to join him in his redemptive work. And perhaps you are already following. Continue. And if the Lord has more, I guarantee you he is able to accomplish all that he has purposed for your life. The question is will you trust him to lead you in the process of his higher purpose for you? And it's important to know that following him means trusting him by saying to him, here I am, Lord. I don't have an agenda. I realize this, if anything's going to happen, it's not going to be because I'm doing it. I've taken on this responsibility, and that's good. Don't get me wrong. But you put too much on yourself when Jesus is saying, follow me, and I will do it through you. So the important thing for you to say is, here I am, Lord. Use me. The second is a call to commitment to Jesus. And you might say, well, Pastor, I've already committed to Christ. But where you're erroring is because your commitment to Christ has been on your terms. And so Christ wants you to know when he calls you to follow him, this commitment is not on your terms, but on his terms. It must be on his terms. On another occasion, there was a person that was committed to Christ. He was a disciple, the scriptures tell us. But he was committed on his terms, and this disciple needed to understand that if he was going to continue following Christ, it could no longer be on his terms, but on Christ's terms. Why don't you turn to Matthew chapter 8. We're looking at the 21st verse. And notice, it tells us, then another of his disciples. This was a disciple. Said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, disciple, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Now, when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And this is what true disciples will do. Committed, truly committed disciples, they will follow Christ. And they might come to a point where they realize, like in the case of this disciple, the Lord was causing him to realize, yes, you've been following me. Yes, you are a disciple, but it's been on your terms. And the situation that you're facing right now is just bringing it to the surface. And let's deal with it right now. Here, this man, he said, let me first go bury my father. And you might think that Jesus' reply is mean. Let the dead bury the dead. See, it was in that custom that perhaps he was the oldest, that the oldest would inherit. Once the father passed away, he would inherit a double portion. And it wasn't as if his dad was passing away anytime soon. He was thinking, well, I want to make sure that I get myself situated first. I really don't know when my father is going to pass away, but let me just deal with this first. Let me put me first and what I want first. And then when I am done taking care of myself first, then I'll follow you. And Jesus said to him, no, you're doing this on your terms. It's got to be me first. The dead will take care of the dead. You come follow me. Don't worry about that situation. Now's the time to follow me. And maybe you've been following Christ, but it's been on your terms, and now there's a situation where Christ is calling you to a deeper commitment. And you're starting to realize, wow, I've been committed to Christ, but it's been more on my terms. And the Lord is saying to you, you let that matter take care of itself, but you come follow me. Now, the third is a call to hope. On another occasion, there was a person with a bad reputation, a known sinner. And this person made many enemies. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, we already read it earlier, but we revisit the verse, and it tells us, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. And so he arose and followed him. Matthew was not sitting at the tax office because he was paying his taxes. Matthew, he was a tax collector. He was working for the Roman government. He was a Jewish man, but he was working for the Roman government, and to his own people, they saw him as a traitor, as a sinner, the worst of the worst. He had many enemies because he willfully chose to, you could say, turn his back on his own people and work for the enemy. And perhaps you're feeling hopeless, and Matthew, no doubt, living the way he was living, experiencing the pressures, maybe on the surface, he had tough skin, and he was able to just plow through the criticism, plow through the social stigma. But deep down inside, he wasn't happy with himself. And he didn't want to continue living the life that he was living. Jesus had an impact on him. We don't know all the things that were said, but we do know this. Jesus said to him, follow me. And Matthew, he got up and he followed him. And perhaps you're feeling hopeless because of your sinful lifestyle. Maybe you've developed a bad reputation for yourself. Maybe you have made quite a few enemies. But in Christ, there is hope. Always there is hope for the hopeless. You may have a dark past, but following Jesus will give you a bright future. You know, he came to give life, and that more abundantly, and to you. He says, follow me. And the fourth and the last one that we'll look at is a call to true riches and satisfaction. On another occasion, there was a young moral man who had a lot of money. But what he didn't have was satisfaction. He was empty inside. His morality, his money left him lacking, left him unsatisfied. Turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19. And in verse 16, it tells us, now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what must I do? What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And so he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Notice this. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. This was a very moral man. He probably valued morality. He valued how he treated his fellow man. It was something that was important to him from early on in his life. And yet he confesses here and he says, what do I still lack? You don't ask what's lacking when you know you are all right, when everything's okay. And he says, what do I still lack? And Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, now we know that there's no such thing as perfection, human imperfection, while we are in this fallen state. So he's certainly not saying if you want to be perfect, not in the sense that we might understand perfection, but in the context, what he's saying is you are lacking, but if you want to be complete, if you want that sense of unsatisfaction, that unfulfillment, that emptiness, if you want that to go away, go sell whatever you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And to that, it tells us, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. Why? Because he had great possessions. See, you notice all the commandments that Jesus told the young man had to do with morality, how you deal with your fellow man. Jesus didn't mention any of the commandments that had to deal with God. And although this man had no problem dealing well with his fellow man, he had an issue with God. And the issue that he had with God was that he cared more about his possessions than he did about God. When push came to shove, that's what was holding him back. And perhaps you've done well for yourself. You're educated. It's a good thing. You're financially secure. That's a good thing. You're a churchgoer. You're here. You're listening. And when it comes to morality, you consider other people, and to you, you feel that you're head and shoulders above many others. But deep down inside, you still lack. There is a void. All of those accomplishments, they haven't filled that emptiness. Something is missing. You are unsatisfied. And perhaps like this rich man, the issue is that deep down inside, the things that you possess, your accomplishments possess you more than God does. They're more important to you than God. And this is why you are still lacking. The beautiful thing about Jesus is that he always tries to help us, no matter what situation we might find ourselves. And just like he said to that man, follow me, he's saying to you, follow me. You know, Jesus' invitation and command to follow him wasn't just to a selected few. On different occasions, he gave people opportunities to follow him. And he did this publicly. If you turn to, for example, Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, Listen to these words of our Lord. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Now, Jesus, one thing he wasn't. He wasn't gray. His words weren't muddy. Jesus was clear. Very, very clear. And there are many people that think that they are following Jesus, but they're not. They're following Jesus on their own terms. That won't work. Their priorities are off. There are many disciples still today that they're following, but not wholeheartedly. Their head's with Christ, but their heart isn't. And there perhaps are some of you, you've been walking with the Lord for many, many years. But in certain areas of your life, you're really not following Christ. And to you, Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. Now, when Jesus said these words, it's important to understand that he meant what he said. There's no other interpretations. There's no way to soften this. Jesus said, don't think that I came to bring peace on earth. Now, Jesus is the Prince of Peace to those who really, truly have him as their King of heart. And one day, no doubt, Christ will bring peace on the earth. But at his first coming, he makes it clear, I didn't come to bring peace. What did he come to do then? To bring a sword. A sword is an instrument of what? War, of conflict. And he says that if you're going to follow me, don't expect life to be easy. Don't expect life where everybody is going to now celebrate you. Don't think that family members are going to approve and support you. There may be some, as a result of you following me, that will from this day forward have conflict with you. And Jesus said that, for I have come to set a man against his father. And there are many people that because they've turned to Christ and they followed Christ, their father has disowned them. He said, a daughter against her mother. I mean, these are close, close relationships. And Jesus is saying, to follow me, there's going to be a cost. Don't think I came to bring peace. So don't find it strange when you decide to follow Christ that people closest to you will be your greatest opponents. Not in every case, but oftentimes that is the case. He said, a man's enemies will be those of his own household. And Jesus, he makes it clear, he says, if you prioritize any other relationship, no matter who they are, As he said in verse 37, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He says, if you put any other person before me, you are not worthy of me. And then the last verse we read here, and this is for everyone. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, it tells us, then Jesus said to his disciples, to those that were following him, if anyone desires to come after me, let him, notice three things. One, deny. Deny what? Deny yourself. Number two, take. Take what? Take up your cross. Do you know what that means? For us, it's somewhat of a foreign idea. We've never experienced anything like taking up your cross as Jesus mentions it, because we don't have crucifixion as a form of capital punishment in our day. But in Jesus' day, taking up the cross was a form of capital punishment, and it was utilized for the worst of sinners, the worst of criminals, the worst of criminals. Individuals that were deemed that they are not fit for this world because of their crime. And this would be something that would be done, and many, many eyes would be viewing this experience when a criminal who was condemned to death by Roman crucifixion would carry his own cross, would pick up his own cross and carry it to the place where he would finally be crucified. And anyone watching this, they would see the individual or the individuals, and as far as they could see and as far as they were concerned, they would look at the individuals carrying their cross and they would say, that man, that person is as good as dead. Yep, they're alive now. They're carrying that cross. But they are as good as dead. They're dead to this world. They're dead. And that's the idea. Jesus is saying, deny yourself. To his disciples, take up your cross. See yourself dead to this world and the things of this world. And then the third thing he said, and follow me. These are two words that have changed the world. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Jesus said these words way back when, on different occasions, to different people, to different circumstances. He said them to his own disciples, follow me. They are now words. They were spoken by our Lord way back then, but they are now words. They are active words. They are today words. Now, you and I both have a responsibility, because Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. There's no gray with Christ. There's no middle ground. We've all heard the song, Jesus is just all right with me. Jesus wouldn't say, I like that tune. There is no middle ground. Jesus made it very clear, you're either for me or you are against me. So what will you do? What will you do with the words of Christ, follow me? What would you do, or what will you do with that call You and I both know that there is only one right choice. Now, like that rich young ruler, I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what circumstance, disciple, or maybe you haven't made a commitment to Christ. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what it is specifically that the Lord is saying to you, follow me. But like that rich young ruler, don't walk away today sad because you are not willing to heed his call and follow him. Now, some of you might think to yourself in closing, well, what's in it for me? You know, life's good right now. If I follow him, I mean, he can upset things. Remember what he said, hey, I didn't come to bring peace. Jesus is telling you up front, I'm not guaranteeing that your life is going to be easy. But you might be wondering, well, what's in it for me? Well, let me share this as we close and we move to communion. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19. And Peter, in verse 27, he said to Jesus, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? I think that that's a good question. There's nothing wrong. You might be sitting here thinking, well, if I follow Christ, if I do what the Lord is commanding me to do, and I'm obedient to him, even though there may be consequences, even though it may be a difficult situation, I'll tell you, if I didn't obey the Lord 18 years ago, I have no idea where I would be today. It probably wouldn't be good. The outcome would have been way different. But Peter asked that question, and that's not a bad question to ask. There's that sense of Jesus wants you to be fully informed. He wants you to know what you're getting into. Don't you hate shady people that they give you just a little bit and they want to hook you, and then after they hook you, then you find out all this bad stuff and you think, man, if I would have known this, I would have never moved forward. I feel like you suckered me into this. Jesus is not like that. And so Peter, he asked that question, and Jesus said to him, assuredly, verse 28, I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So from this verse, we understand that he's talking specifically to his disciples that followed him. There were 12 apostles, and he was talking to the 12. But now he moves on to everyone. And he says, and everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or fathers, or mother, or wife, rather, or children, or lands. Notice this, not on your terms, but for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. And there is another translation or another book where of the Gospels where it says, with persecution. In other words, with suffering. Because it's not always going to be easy. But remember what Jesus said, store your treasures in heaven. This is all temporary. You know, in 100 years from now, it won't matter what you did here. The only thing that will matter is what you did for Christ's sake. That's all that will matter. But notice what he ends this chapter with. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. You know, there are many people here, many even disciples. There was a time where Jesus shared a message in John chapter 6, verse 66. John 6, 6, 6, where after hearing what Jesus said, many of his disciples walked away. Because they want to be first. They don't want the Lord to be first. But the Lord is saying, hey, you, follow me. You put me first. And so what are you going to do with this? I don't know what your context is. I don't know how this may apply to you. But what are you going to do with these two words of our Lord? He's saying to you, follow me. We have to do something. You're either going to follow him or you're not. And I implore you to follow him. Now, Jesus, many times, he spoke these things publicly and he gave people opportunities to follow him publicly. And Jesus is giving you an opportunity today.